Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, where we're taking everything that we learned in 2024 and amplifying it for a new year of transformation. This isn't just a podcast anymore. It's a revolution in healing. Whether you're a longtime listener or this is your first episode, we want you to get ready for some life-changing conversation.
We've learned something powerful over the past year. When we share our truth, we give others the permission to do the same. We've created this space for the truth seekers, change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, real change happens when we stop hiding and start healing.
So whether you're here to work through your own journey or learn from ours, you're in the right place. We're about to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get results.
So buckle up, grab your favorite drink, and let's heal that shit together.
So my name is Kim. I am Kim Berlin Jackson.
Oh my God.
I just had a moment like, who am I? And then I thought, like, people know me in different ways from different spaces. So yeah. That's kind of what happened just now. But anyway, I am an educational advocate and activist, visionary and motivational speaker. I'm a virtual producer, network executive. I'm an intuitive melanated life coach. I help people deepen their relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker. I live in Medellin, Colombia in South America. And I'm also a podcaster and one of your hosts. So what up?
Yes, indeed. Okay. My name is Bianca Goolsby, and I am a digital strategist. I am a consultant, an education activist, a certified snitch. Yes, indeed.
Snitch.
And I am an investigator and a receipt collector. So please put some respect on my name. I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. I am also an intuitive melanated life coach and a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. And currently my feet are planted in Tallahassee, Florida. And my purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment. Yes, indeed.
Raise the roof. Come on, Bianca.
What? What did I do?
Yo, Bianca, I feel like we need to pause here and tell people what's happening, because if they aren't, like, if this is their first time, for instance, they might be like, hey, what's happening here? It's a few things, y'all. One, we're on a new platform. So we formerly were living on StreamYard, and now we're over on Riverside FM. So that in itself comes with a lot of changes, because it's a new platform to learn where things like all the such and the so's. There is also a feature in this new platform that is pretty fancy, if I must admit, which is the teleprompter. So Bianca, in her fanciness and being who she is, she's master of production, she got the teleprompter situation going over there. It sounds like it's some things that are happening, which is causing some delays and also new platforms. So it's a lot that's going on right now, it seems and sounds like. I didn't want them to be like, damn, these bitches new. Like, what is their problem? Like, this shit to go.
All I got to say to that is,
so I was asking you earlier, and we're going to pause here, y'all. We'll tell y'all the rest of the stuff in just a minute. Did you put all of this stuff into the studio, or are you using your Rodecaster?
So there are several sound effects that are actually in the studio.
Okay.
I am not using my Rodecaster because I'm not going to travel with it. So right. I did upload it into the system.
That's why I was asking, because you were trying to lighten your load and stuff. So you were able to put your chosen sound effects into upload it here into the platform.
That is correct.
And you see how it has the list, or it has the, like, the buttons? I feel like that's probably what a Rodecaster looks like.
So it does have two options, and I like the buttons because yeah. it mirrors what I have. There's also a feature that I'm trying to get worked out where it actually syncs with my Stream Deck, which is a smaller button mechanism.
Okay.
That looks like this.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's what I envision that the icons look like.
And then ideally the goal is for me to be able to push one of these buttons to initiate a sound effect, and then it will be more portable and accessible than to try to read all of these different
right.
icons over there.
And then you could get used to where it is on your correct. With your buttons. Yeah. That's pretty dope. So I we had Kalonda and I on So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese. Our last episode was here on Riverside, and I was like having a moment with all the things just using the free version. I was very much impressed with the capabilities that they have. And I was saying to myself, like, I'm finna sign up for this and also make me an affiliate, because why? What is StreamYard even doing over there? Like, this is wild over here. So I would like for you to talk about what it was like when you rolled up in here for the first time when you came down to the Riverside.
Yes, indeed. Well, I have to give a shout out to the team at Riverside. Shout out to Don and Queen. They hooked the girl up. Okay, so.
So you had a customized meeting.
Oh, yeah. We communicated via email.
Bianca was able to get that VIP shit. Y'all be... Okay, sorry. I probably shouldn't have cussed in that thing, but go ahead.
So they set me up to have all the pro features and also received a coupon for 50% off the yearly plan. So with that being stated, instead of paying $408 for the yearly plan, it is $204. And that will cover the entire year, which is significantly cheaper than what I was paying with StreamYard, which with the price hike, it was $88.99 a month. So just in literally 4 months of StreamYard, I will be paying for the whole year of this software.
And you said, so I need to schedule a meeting with the people because I need the coupon for sure. But you said $204 for the year.
All the pro features.
Wow.
The only thing that I did not like was that there are some features that are designated for business. So, for example, the green screen situation, they have it to where if you want to upload your own image, you need to be on the business plan. How I'm able to do this workaround is with the webcam. There are some other workarounds with OBS that I can explore, but essentially...
What's OBS?
Oh, girl. So it's an open source software that you can configure your camera and mic settings.
Interesting. Okay.
So there are workarounds to get the green screen using different tech tools to do that, to have this to be more efficient. That's the only thing that I was just like, grr. But to have the teleprompter, to have just the different workspaces and for it to look very clean in the different workspaces, for the ease of connectivity of connecting it to YouTube and Facebook to stream. I must say, for the price and for just the service that I've experienced thus far, uh-huh. I'm very satisfied and pleased with this. I have been also exploring other competitors as well, though. Uh-huh. Because there are so many different people in the market space now that are offering this particular service and are okay. offering different things. And my thing is, who's going to give me the best value for what my needs are? There are several podcasts that I am going to be managing very soon, and I need to make sure that all the workspaces align in the way that it needs to. Uh-huh. And also just for my own personal projects, wanting to make sure that I have something comparable, if not better, than what I was using with StreamYard all this time.
Yeah. So I would like to participate in that tour with you because I also have a new client that I'm going to be producing, and she is on StreamYard, And then everything happened with us breaking up with StreamYard and coming over here. And I was like, girl, because I don't know what even the free version of StreamYard, I don't know what they offer, right? We've had been on the pro plan for a long, long time. So I was thinking to myself, like, I'm probably going to need to tell her to explore a different option, because is what they are. This is not necessarily to be a bash of StreamYard, but also it's like, They're not just in the free version of what I found here. They're not offering that on the paid version, very much paid, full five times, much more paid. They're not even offering that stuff on StreamYard Pro. So it doesn't even really make sense per se for her to start getting established over there, because it's like, girl, it ain't even worth it. It ain't even much worth it, sis. So yeah. So I wanted to ask you about that. I also wanted to ask you about the Canva conference. And I don't know if you, like, was this a part of what you was going to talk about?
No, today? But I can answer any questions.
Well, I know you're also an affiliate with Canva. And I was on there for a little bit, but then, you know, I had to get ready for my interview and stuff. So I had jumped off. But I saw a recap, I think, of the six main things. And I was just wondering, I know you said the keynote was really good. So I was just wondering if you wanted to talk about any of that, because I didn't have a chance to talk about that with you.
Yeah, I am very impressed with Canva. I am very impressed with the way that they have been rolling out different features. So one of the features that I'm most excited about is the feature where within a document, you can have multiple size documents in that one document. So let me explain it and give context to folks that might not understand what I'm saying. So let's say that you're working on a flyer, and a flyer is one size, and then you want to turn it into a reel, and that reel is a different size. Well, you can have these assets in one document, which is great, because looking at my Canva folder, it is a wild of having just different
so many
files
difference.
For just different sizes, and to have a document where it doesn't matter what size it is, everything could be in one document. That is great for the approval process of getting it done. That's great for if you have a team and there's people in there making edits for production and making sure that that gets out. It's great to keep everything in alignment. So then you just have this one document with everything in it. That is a game changer. They had Canva Sheets that is literally taking over, getting rid of Excel. I don't like Excel. And then the go around with Excel was Google Sheets. Well, now Canva Sheets is a thing, and they have embedded AI into it to where you don't have to memorize a formula. And that is amazing. Not only can you create this type of data set, but then you can import it into your marketing assets with ease. If anyone has ever tried to use an Excel document and try to make charts and then try to download the image and then put it into, it's a lot. Having that all in Canva, chef's kiss. Even the video editing feature of being able to edit videos more efficiently. So like my last Power Girl walk that it's not even called Power Girl Walk, Lord. It was called Hot Girl Walk. And then realized that Hot Girl Walk is federally trademarked.
That's what
that.
You were talking about. I was like, what is she talking about? I saw the picture, but then I was confused and I just didn't have enough brain cells to figure it out. So what? Hot Girl Walk is what now?
So Hot Girl Walk is federally trademarked. But I called my series Hot Girl Walk Reflection. Well, when I put it in the search in Facebook to see what it outputs, it gave me a warning to say that this key term is flagged because of child abuse. So that was something I was like, ooh, no. So had to change the name. So now it's POV Power Walk. Well, I'm able to edit those videos right in Canva, and it is a breeze, and literally had an amazing time just slicing it up, getting it out, and boom, done. Yeah. There's a lot of things that I want to explore with Canva. There were several people that was texting me during the actual keynote of being like, oh, Bianca, you see this? You see this? Like, it was great. It makes me wish I had like a watch party or something that was set up so that we could have like the continuing conversations about it. I don't know what that face is about. So I'm just going to put this sound effect here. Because you're going to have to let me know about that one.
Because I be saying stuff like, we should have a watch party. We should do the things. We should have a da-da-da-da-da-da. And so to hear you just being like, I should have a, yes, yes, you should for everything. Yes, you should. Mm-hmm. That's all.
So I really enjoy the features thus far. I still have to dive deep and learn more in Canva. And there's a few of us that like actually want to explore it together and be like, all right, so like, let's try this tool and let's try this tool. So I'm like really excited to see that come together because it is very, very powerful, I'm seeing. And the fact that they showed that you could batch content and put it in a whole sheet and to be able to export it and get it ready to go in different languages, or just even how they showed how Disney was able to translate so many different media assets in different languages and have used AI tools to change the language on the media assets within a click. Like it's powerful. So I'm really excited to dive deep into that, to make more media assets, to use that for my business, to help clients as they need media assets and whatnot. So yeah, I really enjoyed that Canva conference, and shout out to them, truly. I really enjoyed being an affiliate with them, and I like being able to say that I have a link, and it literally is just my name, Bianca.
So how does one get on the list to practice learning all these different things and learn about all the different capabilities and such? How does one get on that VIP exclusive list? Asking for myself.
I don't know. So I didn't have a date set. It was just us talking via text. Different people that was like, oh, see this. And I was like, yeah, we need to like come together and like try these different features together and kind of explore. So when I have more details, I will be sure to share it with you. But yeah, nothing is formalized yet. It was literally something that was talked about yesterday as everything was happening.
Yeah, because that's a class. That's a whole, to be able to teach that, right? Because just because someone has Canva, I'm sure you know this, doesn't mean that they know how to utilize it to its fullest capabilities. I was on for the part where they talked about the different sized assets in one file. So, but I didn't hear about the batching of content, but just hearing you talking about that, I'm like, well, shit, that would be helpful, because you already know all of that stuff stresses me the hell out. So just something to think about. That's all. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So I wanted to kind of get that out because I didn't know what else we had to talk about, but I didn't want to forget. And also I figured that it might be helpful to actually record that, because who knows what can be done with that. But I felt like that would be helpful. So we have three keys. You ready to tell the people?
Yes, indeed. Let's go ahead and talk about these community agreements and the keys that we operate by. So accountability, transparency, and integrity. Yes, indeed. So before we go further, we want to make sure that we are clear about expectations and what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. So what you can expect from us to operate out the three keys, okay? Because we're going to keep it real and we're going to speak freely and we might cuss if and when we feel like it. So I'm telling you this because if you have little listeners, you might want to put some AirPods, some headphones, or maybe not, that's your business. And what we can expect from you, hate speech and comments are not welcomed here. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. So please be intentional with how you engage with others in social spaces, particularly this one, because this one is a safe space. We also want you to engage and go on this journey with us. We are not experts, but we are facilitating some very impactful conversations. And we want you to participate in this journey and bring people with you, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal.
Amen. So we have emojis, y'all, and I don't know what banners we have up, so we'll just see what's in the lab and what's not. So our community emojis is the heart with a bandage around it that represents our space here at Heal That Shit. So if you see us, and when you see us out here in the digital streets, that's a way for us to know that you are coming directly from this community that we have over here. We also have individual emojis. So my emojis are the crayon and the sunflower. So the sunflower yellow is my favorite color. The sunflower also represents invisible disabilities, and that is something that I'm becoming more and more of an advocate for every day as someone who lives with depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, and complex situations, neurodivergence, all the things, right? And you can't see any of that on the surface. It just looks like I'm totally fine when many times I'm not. So the sunflower represents those types of disabilities. And looking towards the sun, looking towards God, what have you. The crayon is my emoji because there was a time when my life was very black and white, and I made a conscious decision to include color in my life and, bring things that bring joy and bring color. So I was like, I'm gonna color the fuck out of my life, and the crayon became my emoji. So those are my two emojis.
Yes, indeed. And so my two emojis is the teddy bear and the hands that form the heart. Okay. Yes, indeed. All right. So the teddy bear, I feel very strongly that love is the highest frequency. And as a teddy bear, I have a lot of love to give and a lot of love to receive. And it is amazing to be loved out loud. Amen. I feel very good about that. And the hands that form the heart, this is something that means so much to me, particularly because what I've been going through this past week, which I can't wait to tap into and to share because it's been a lot. But this heart and this hands forming the heart, there's been a lot that has been happening with my heart, whether it is the actual physical heart, emotional heart, it is a lot. And so having my heart reconstructed and for it to be powered by a pacemaker is something that I will always share with individuals to live their life the way that God has intended them to. So those are my two emojis.
Amen. So if you are listening or if you're watching us, we are also available on podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the places where podcasts happen. But we're also, if you're listening, also available on video on YouTube, on our YouTube page, Heal That Shit, where you can actually see us. You might get distracted, though, by our beauty. So just like be prepared for that. But also,
yes, indeed,
it's a good time to watch us on video. So having said that, we invite you to visit our website, wehealthatshit.com. Like us on all platforms, subscribe, share, leave reviews, do all the things to show your support. Leave us some hearts, leave us the things, leave us the things. Okay. All right. So anyway, moving on. So our spirit check for today, and that we always do, our spirit check is to kind of just create space and hold space and honor energy that we are bringing into the space. You started last time, so do you want me to start this time, or would you like to start?
No, go ahead. You go.
Okay. So, and I don't know, do we have the ability to share it on the screen yet or no?
So you can share your screen?
I can share my screen.
I think so.
Now I have to get that up, Saints. Hold on a second. Insert a musical interlude here.
Yes, indeed.
Hold on now. I know I got it. Wait. If I can share my screen, I got to do it right. So hold on. Let's get the... Yo, where is that? There it is. Okay. I am so extra. I thought about this the other day because it's something when you know how to get around a computer and to do different things, you often become extra with the type of things that you're able to do. So for instance, just now, instead of me just reading the stuff off, I'm like, ooh, I got to go on Canva. I got to make a public share link. I got to go and do this and do that. Girl, why are you so extra, sis? Why? It's too much. But also, here it is. Is it on the screen? Is it there?
It is.
So anyway, if you're watching for the spirit check, the categories go like this. So, and if you're listening, I'm explaining so that you understand. So green is I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So the way that I usually think about mine is I think about a heart, because again, hearts are one of our symbols here. So in this present moment, like in this second right now, I would say that things are fairly blue. Okay, so take that and situate that in the grand scheme of things. Okay, so let's just pretend there's a little blue heart. All right, now that blue heart is going to a bigger heart. Okay, now the bigger heart is very much, I would say, yellow and purple. There's a yellow and purple gradient, and then probably the blue is like off center. It's not even in the center. It's just kind of like off center. So yeah, it's a lot. So yellow around the perimeter, going into purple, and then this blue kind of heart off center.
I'm visualizing that, and that's very descriptive. Okay.
I do my best to paint the pictures with the words.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, paint pictures with words. Yeah. I said it right.
So I can't wait to unpack that in our transparency moment. So for me, my spirit is a bright purple heart. It's bright. There are some yellow type of dots in there, but the way that it's in there, it actually is like gold. It actually is like a glitter type, actually. Like it shines. So it's like it adds to the purple heart in a way that it makes it appear on the surface that it's beautiful and glistening and all of that. But then when you like dive deep into what that yellow is, then it's like, okay. So that's how I would describe it. It's bright purple with this glitter that appears that it's like gold glitter, but it's actually yellow speckles.
Interesting. Okay. So who's starting? How do we decide who's starting?
I think that we should go back to our tradition of playing rock, paper, scissors.
So do you want to explain to us what that particular sound effect, what feelings and energy is that supposed to evoke so that we can meet you where you are?
Yes, indeed. So in that moment, that was like the petty superstar that was emerging there. Because I just find it real funny that, you know, you was making, you know, the facial expressions you was making when I was just trying to be fair on sharing time on who was going to go first, because it's a lot going on for the both of us. So I felt like we could actually try this platform in this way. We on a whole new system. We could start this off new. But you know what? I'm going to turn it to you, little baby. What do you think we should do in order for us to start, huh?
Not that you just stone cold went off on me. Relax, okay?
Oh, hell no!
Ma'am, dial it back a notch or two, all right? I made a face because we always have some kind of issue when it's time for rock, paper, scissors. So it's like, here you go. All right, come on, let's do it. So that's all. But come on, what's the rules? Say that we on a new platform. There's a new day. Tell the people what the rules are, man, so everybody understand what's supposed to be what and so.
Well, see, that's the thing. I didn't create this shit, right? Like, just migrating platforms, it took me some time. Okay, so what we gonna do is we gonna go to who's ever shown first on the screen, and that is you. So that's the rule. That's how we gonna do
how
it.
How the hell you work that? Yes, indeed. And her ass over there, the damn producer controlling all this shit. Anyway, that's fine.
See how that works? See, like this could be moved over. Okay. Now go ahead. You go first.
So, yes, it's a lot that's going on. And so yesterday, after I finished my interview, and I'm gonna give more color to this in a moment. Yesterday, after I finished my interview, which was 3.5 hours, I stood up and it felt like I had been lifting weights with my legs. And I realized that I had been holding that much tension in my body and not breathing for that amount of time that my body thought that I was exercising. So I was like, I have to stretch. Like, this is, it was very interesting. So I forgot to actually ask this question about how much I can say publicly, but what I have already said is that I'm filing for asylum here in Colombia. And I had my appointment yesterday. They found a translator for me, which is also why it took a really long time, because we had to translate and the attorney was typing. So I imagine if we spoke the same language that it probably would have taken half the time. But I was appreciative of that. They also shared that it took so long to find a translator because the U.S. has cut all humanitarian aid to Colombia. So they don't have any money in their budget to do the usual things that they would do to help people. So the translator that was there was someone who is not an official translator, but they spoke enough English to be able to translate and help it to make it make sense. So that was interesting. It was not a hostile environment. It was very much supportive. This is the person who's actually going to be working the case. So they are invested. And that was nice. But it was also interesting because when you are working with people who are from a different country and who live in a different country, they're not versed on the ins and outs of what happens in the U.S. So it was still a lot of for context, you know, it was like, okay, so for context, this, that, because I was talking about us and how we met, because I started at Tampa, because that's when things really started happening. And though, let me not even say that, because I don't even know that to be true. That's when things really started happening and rooted in politics and having really serious consequences behind political things and my name being in the news and on the things and all that. And of course, you can relate. So I started there and had to paint and unpack that situation with Tampa, from threats from the NAACP to fake Facebook pages and all that, unpacked all of that. So then, that was the first context. So I was like, so keep in mind, during this time, 2020, election, Black Lives Matter protests, George Floyd murder, like these are the things that are happening during this time. So like, I'm trying to help them to understand this is why things are ratcheting up, like, you know. So that was interesting. And then I had to show, for instance, so January 6, 2021. And what happened with the insurrection and how I was at work that day and how they got mad at me because I asked for a statement, or how are we supposed to be talking about what's happening? So I had to show them a clip of the insurrection. It's like, so at one point they were like, well, why are you showing us that? And I was like, because you need to understand what the climate and the culture is like in the country and the type of work that I do. I'm an activist. All of the work that I talk about, equity and fighting for children and families and teachers and Black people and people with disabilities and people of color, all of that is now illegal. So what's finna happen if I go back? You know, so it very much, I was going to say it was frustrating. I don't know that frustrating is the right word, but it was. It was frustrating because I'm trying to explain us micro situation in the midst of a bigger situation, and without the context of how a country operates and with whatever context. So mind you, a lot of people here in Colombia have never been to the U.S. They know the U.S. from TV. That's it. So their idea of the U.S. is very much not what it is like to actually live in the U.S. Their understanding of what it is like to be Black in the U.S. is almost non-existent. So it was really, I just had to keep saying, like, Black people, people, Hispanic people, people with disabilities, like, these are the types of things that they're saying. This stuff is not supposed to be happening, you know? So it was interesting. It was a lot of energy. And before that, very much hadn't really looked at any of that stuff in a long, long time. So, of course, I have copious amounts of documents and emails and timelines and like all of this, because I did eventually, in the situation, file with the Pennsylvania Human Rights Commission, the EEOC, and like there are actual like documents of complaints, but I hadn't gone back and read like the details of the things that were happening. So that was really, really, really emotional to go back and to watch myself in videos. Like, there are still videos that I haven't released where I was when my communication had gotten really, really bad. And that was just before I came to visit Colombia. So I came to visit Colombia in April. It was like April 19th or something like that. That anniversary is coming up. But this was probably like March or so. And I have a few videos where I'm barely able to connect things. Like, I'm trying to say stuff, it's not coming out. I'm stuttering. Like, it was a lot. I'm crying. Like, I haven't even released those videos, but I came across them as I am gathering all this documentation. So that was a lot. And I was honestly concerned for how I would feel afterwards, which I'm not done. So I still have to do the second part on Monday. So I only got up to, they tried to get my YouTube page taken down. I didn't really get to go to, and then I went back to the U.S. to try to work and had a full mental health crisis and have not, my life has been drastically different since then. So that's what I have to unpack on Monday. So that is the harder of the parts, because I have to make it very plain of why I was so scared to go back, or how what I had seen and how what is happening now currently is a direct threat to people like myself who directly advocate and who are whistleblowers, basically is what it is. Of having blown the whistle on these millions and millions of dollars that y'all said y'all was using to improve schools, and that's not what was happening. Like, now I have to draw that connection. So that's interesting. And then before that, so, you know, I know you've done and you have your village audit workbook, and, you know, consistently doing village audits. And I've been doing the same. And I just found so let me say this. Being someone who is, one, an activist, it is very, very difficult to understand the types of things that happen to someone who is an activist. So remember you used to be telling me, like, girl, because my inbox is wild. Like, the type of things I get in my inbox as well, right? And I really didn't understand what that meant until you started sharing the specifics of the types of things that are in your inbox. And then I was like, Jesus, people just know, hey, how you doing? They just sending you trauma all day. Like, this is wild, right? But before that, I really wasn't able to understand what that meant. Like, just making a, is wow, okay, well, whatever that means. I hope it gets better. You know, but you don't really have specifics or a way to understand. And that's what it feels like when I am explaining to people how I am feeling having to go through this. So it is very much, oh, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. You're strong. It's fine. And it's like, it feels very dismissive to what is happening now. So sure, maybe they might approve it and everything might be fine. However, in this moment, I am saying, I'm not fine. That's it. There's no fix that needs to get put on that. There's nothing. I'm not fine. So being able to support in that and say, I hear you and I understand. And even I know a lot of times people will say different things because they don't know what to say. And I think it is better to just say, I don't know what to say, but I hear you. I understand, or whatever. So I have been, sharing. I've been knowing that this is coming up and just kind of sharing. And then also feeling like I don't really want. So, you know, last week we talked about our last show episode. We talked about, maybe that was last, maybe that was the show before, when we talked about Caleb Wilson and our experiences and sorority and sisterhood and all that kind of stuff. So this concept of sisterhood and community and what it looks like for people to be there for you, I feel I bought the dream hook, line, and sinker. Like if they said it looks like this, this is what it looks like. So that's how I'm conducting myself, right? This is what a sisterhood is supposed to look like. This is what sisters are supposed to look like. This is what friendship is supposed to look like. This is how you're supposed to show up. Clearly, that's how other people are showing up because that's what this is supposed to be, right? Then after multiple instances of things, at some point you realize, oh, everybody's definition is not the same. Like I'm showing up in a particular way and other people aren't, like, this is weird, right? So then connecting back to your body, you start to sense energy. So now I'm like, something feels off. Like, I don't really know. I don't really understand. So my sands, my line sisters have been on my spirit for a while. And this has been since before my mental health crisis, because when I was reading Sisterhood Heals, they were the first sisterhood that popped up for me because I'm like, I'm supposed to have this built-in sisterhood. I ain't talked to these souls in forever. Like, what is happening here, right? And I can feel the energy that we're not okay collectively, right? But the things that we're talking about in the group chat, at least the ones I'm in, because there might be others, I don't know, right? But because I know that's something we do, is we go off and create new group chats and leave people out of them all the time. Like that's a thing that happens. But so where the space that I'm in, y'all asking for money for popcorn for the field trip and somebody got a gymnastics meet and like all of this. And that's great. I want to support your kids. I really do. I think that's amazing. I wish I had a chance to meet them. I haven't had a chance to meet anybody's kids because I've been gone. So this is the only way that I'm able to see your kids. And also, are y'all okay? Are y'all okay? Because I'm not. So I know if I'm not, somebody else is probably going through something. Are we okay? So Kimberlyn, being who Kimberlyn is, I reach out individually. Hey, you all right? What's going on? Da 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 da. Right? How are you for real? And a lot of times I would get responses like, another day, another dollar. When I tell you that shit sends me over the edge, because it is the most inauthentic type of shit that I don't know what the fuck that means. I have no idea what that means. What are you talking? Are you okay? Right? So that had been happening for some years. So then I went through everything with my mental health crisis and all of that. And I have been struggling a lot since then. Again, I look fine on the outside, but I'm trying to rebuild my entire life, right? So anyway, I wrote them a letter. And I was like, basically like, it's like, this is what's happened in my life. And I'm like, and, you know, again, maybe I'm not in the spaces where we're having real conversations, but I'm consistently concerned about you all. And I'm consistently thinking about you all. And maybe y'all are talking about these things in other spaces. I don't really know. But this is what's happening in my life. And I have a feeling that a lot of y'all don't know. And my question is, why? Why don't you know? Especially, I live a very transparent life on social media. But what happens is I feel this like energy of, I don't know if it's competition. And now I'm talking about more circles. So that's one specific circle. But then there have been these other circles where this kind of stuff has been popping up. Even with the Soft podcast, it's like, I feel like I'm in spaces where there's this underlying competitive spirit. And for instance, if I say this is what's happening in my life, now all of a sudden we're playing Oppression Olympics and you need to prove to me that your life was worse. I'm not discounting what happened in your life. I'm talking about my life right now. And I wish I knew more about what was happening in your life, but you don't tell me what's happening in your life. So I can't support you in that because I asked you how you was doing and you never responded. One of my line sisters, girl, I sent her a message in October. She had put something in the chat and was like, I wasn't okay. I'm not okay. Something, something. In October, I reached out and I was like, hey, it's Kim. I feel like I might be able to help. Like, what are you experiencing? This chick just responded to me the other day. Wow. You know what I mean? So it's like I had this revelation in a few different groups and I was like, y'all don't really fuck with me. And that's kind of wild. So I had made this, I wrote this letter and I basically was like, I'm not coming back to the U.S. because a part of asylum. I cannot come back. I don't want to come back, but I also cannot come back. So that means that I'm not going to be at homecoming. I'm not going to be at the trip to Vegas. I'm not going to Miami. I'm not doing none of that. I'm not going to be at nobody's baby shower. I'm not going to be at nobody's graduation. Nobody's probate. I'm not going to be there because I can't come back to the U.S. So that means that if you want to have a relationship with me, it's going to be virtual. And I also understand that ain't for everybody. Everybody's not willing to sit down and talk to somebody on the computer. And that's fine. I wish you the best. God bless you. This is where I exit. Also, there may be some of you that actually care enough to keep a relationship with me, and that's fine. This is where I'll be, and I'm willing to have a relationship with anybody that wants to have a relationship with me. But what I'm not about to keep doing is having this like philosophical understanding or this theoretical understanding of how we're supposed to be showing up for each other, and ain't hardly nobody been over here to help and catch me. Because if y'all can raise money for popcorn, for a fundraiser, for somebody to take a ride in the limousine while your line sister is homeless, what the fuck is happening? But then when shit happens, people be like writing tribute posts and all that kind of stuff. Like, oh, you know, they were this and that. Don't write no tribute posts if you ain't intentionally checked on me and I done told you that I'm not okay. Keep that shit. Keep it. So it's been interesting, and that was happening right before I was about to go and do the interview, because the fact that all of that happened meant I had to leave the U.S., which means that these relationships just became non-existent or whatever. Like, and I don't, in this day of technology, I don't understand. But also, that's their life. That's your life. But it was just weird because I've been asking myself like more and more what that looks like for somebody to genuinely and actively be a part of your life while also creating space for grace, right? Because what I also know is when I'm going through it, I'm not reaching out. I'm trying to fucking keep my shit together. I know that. So I also am not like, I need to hear from you every day. I need to da-da-da-da-da-da, right? But if I'm telling you that something is going on and I'm not okay, it seems like every so often you might check in if you care, you know, because I know there are people in your real life that you actually do that for, you know? So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been a lot. And I'm just kind of honoring the shifting of access, the shifting of circles. It's very much, I had shared in our meeting with all of the coaches and everything that people not about to have access to me. They're just not like the way that I would like to assimilate into Colombian life and Colombian culture. I'm not reaching back to the U.S. the whole time. you know, so that's going to change how people are able to interact with me. And it's also going to change who is interacting with me. So I'm kind of like ripping all them Band-Aids off at the same time, not on purpose, but that's what's up.
Wow. I have a lot of clarifying questions.
I'm sure.
So start with the asylum process. How did it feel to recap all of the things that we had talked about of like, we still haven't unpacked some of this stuff, but you actually were kind of forced to in the sense of doing that. What was that process like for you, and what type of coping skills and mechanisms did you use to help regulate you as best as possible?
Yeah, gratefully, it was a video interview, and I was glad that I didn't think about this with intention when I was scheduling it, but I was glad that I did say a video interview would be best for me because I was able to be in my own environment. And knowing that I am very much getting overstimulated lately, I can't imagine what that would have been like if I would have had to go to an office and like sit there for 3.5 hours and like trying to keep my shit together, and there's all kind of other shit happening, there's other people telling their stories, somebody might be crying, baby. That would have been a lot. So I advocated to have it on video for convenience, but I was glad that all these other things were a benefit of it. So I was able to have grounding music on. I had my diffuser on. I had my incense. I'm here in my space. Ratatouille was even on the phone for a little bit of it. So I had somebody like there with me to show support. Like, so those things were very helpful. I also was doing and continue to do somatic exercises. So before this, last Saturday, I had a healing circle, because also I knew this was coming up and I know that other people are going through this. So I had our first healing circle. And in that healing circle, we were doing somatic exercises like pushing on a wall or an immovable object. So you push with all of your strength and energy until you are exhausted, like your body's shaking, like you just can't even stop. And you allow that energy to move out of you, you shake it out, you reassess. If you're still feeling energy, you do it again. You do it as many times as you need to. So I was doing stuff like that. But also, like I said, I was holding tension the entire time in my body, so much to the point I felt like I was working out for 3.5 hours. So it was interesting. I think the overwhelming thought that I was having was like, this shit is wild. Like, the more that I kept, because I was like, okay, so start at the beginning. Like, where do I even start? So I was going to jump into Pennsylvania, but I was like, I was targeted way before Pennsylvania. Like, we were targeted in Tampa. That is what was happening. And during that time, that's when they was taking over the school board and trying, like, it was a lot that was happening. So once I started like going back, I was like, this shit's wild. This is wild. Like, we actually, this is wild. And I couldn't even remember why I was so like, I got to get the hell up out of Florida. I just knew that I was. So I knew DeSantis was doing his stuff, but I wasn't remembering the rest of the stuff that was happening. But once I started talking to them about the rest of the stuff that was happening, I was like, oh yeah, I definitely was like, oh, I got to go. This is, what the fuck? What is happening here? It was just wild. So that's how it felt. And what I did to cope was those somatic exercises. I had all my things around me that bring me joy. So I felt very safe. So I would say if anybody's in a position where they need to rehash or do an interview or something like that, see if they can make the accommodation for you to do it by video, especially in this technological age. There's not really a reason why you have to show up to somewhere in person. Like, it's just, that's not really a thing. So yeah, what other questions you had? Because we need to get to you.
So the other question that I had was as it relates to you conducting your own type of village audit, were there certain questions or things that you used to assess where people were? What was your strategy as it relates to assessing who is going to have access to you moving forward?
So this was kind of done on the fly. So I didn't pull up the village audit ebook. I was really just going with energy and honoring. So what specifically happened is I had written a letter, and then there were a couple responses like, we all going through stuff. And then I was like, and seeing who actually liked that comment versus who, you know, messaged me on the side to be like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Please forgive me if I did hurt you or whatever, because that did happen. But like seeing, you know, it's the action and the inaction, you know. So there is inaction to what I'm saying, but there's action to what somebody else is saying that's minimizing what I was saying that's disguised as support, you know. So it's like, we all going through stuff. Everybody going through something. So, you know, yeah, maybe we do need to do a better job of da 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 da, which I had already made that plea last year. It's been a whole 365 days. And we're about to have 24 years in Delta on Monday. I'm not going to be on the call. Y'all be easy. For what? For what? And it's weird because I keep having these revelations like, I do not know these people at all. And I be thinking I know people. And I'm like, I don't know nothing about them or how they live their life or what they do. I don't know nothing about you. And you have made it sure that I don't. Girl, I said, they ain't on that. They not on that with you, Kimberlyn Jackson, girl. They don't give a shit, girl. Bye. So I am adopting that saying. They ain't on that. And I'm not on it either. So yeah.
Yes, indeed. Those were my main questions that I had. Okay.
For sure.
That's it. Your turn.
Okay. So Monday, I got an alert that my pacemaker data was transmitted and that there was nothing to report. However, I looked at the report and saw that there was some discrepancy in the data. So my last submission was back in October. And at that time, it stated that my battery life had 10 years left. Well, the submission on Monday now says that I have 8 years left on my battery. So doing the calculation, that's less than 160 days of over a year battery life that is just gone. No real answer, clarity as to what, why, whatever, but that did scare me. I did have fear in that because this thing like keeps me powered, keeps me going. So What you mean over a year of battery life just gone? Like what does that look like? I'm very thankful for the team at TGH. I have a follow-up appointment on the 15th, which changed my entire travel itinerary, changed everything. And so that is something that I am still processing and going through and making those changes. But I felt so saddened. I felt so just frustrated. And then I just started to replay things in my mind of like, okay, so I was stressed during this period and I exerted a lot of energy in this season. And like going back to my journal and like looking at some of the dates and like recapping. And I just was like, I got to change the way that I'm doing things for my health. And that is like just a very real thing of processing of you can't do all the things that you used to do. And you also need to be more intentional with your health and what you consume. And I reverted back to, you know, behavior and practices that we've talked about on this programming about like picking up my cell phone in the middle of the night and scrolling or being like my phone being the first thing that I pick up. And then that's already causing like high stress when I wake up without grounding myself and meditating and all of that. So like literally analyzing those micro steps every single day of what I do and trying to make those revisions of how to do better has been a very interesting, revealing, and just an emotional, laborious type of process to go through. So I thank God that I will know more information about my pacemaker and why it did what it did on the 15th. However, it's still something that ruminates in my mind. I had a dream last night that my pacemaker only had 4 hours left. And that was something to like really wake me up and be like fearful. I also think about like people in my family that just tragically just 1 minute they were fine and good as far as so it appeared. And the next minute, you know, they transition and they're no longer here. And thinking about, well, what if that happens to me? How will people get access to this, 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 and this? And then all of that just kind of drove me into a state where I was just like, I've been in that depressive state before. I've talked about this on this program. I've talked about what it's been like being on depression, antidepressant medicine, and what that does to me. And I know what that is, and I don't want to revisit that. So like being very intentional with my strategies and being able to regulate myself and to stay to myself as best as possible and adding my village when necessary, needed, and all of that, because it has been a lot to process.
Yeah,
so
that's a lot. Can I ask questions here? Or
yeah.
So what is the logistical process with the pacemaker if it runs out of battery? Do you get a replacement, or what's that process?
Great question. So it would have to be another battery implanted. It's another surgical procedure in order to do that.
Is it as invasive as the first one, or is this something that is easier to access?
I wouldn't say easier to access. It's still invasive. It still has to be a cut, and things have to be moved around. So yes, very invasive. But the difficulty in that, I'm uncertain. I can say that with fidelity.
Understood. So hopefully you can ask that question too when you go. And the other question I was wondering was, what feels like support for you in, or maybe even accountability? Because I saw that you made, I think on Telegram, you made a challenge or something. So I'm curious about how people like myself can show up for you in ways that feel like support as you are trying to get everything aligned and whatever. So I'll give you an example. So for instance, when I first was here, I was still eating cheese. And then just recently I stopped eating cheese, right? So one of the things that Kalanda would do when I was eating cheese is she would buy me cheese sticks because I love them and they were great. And then when I stopped eating cheese, support looked like not buying me cheese sticks because I'm not eating them, right? Just an example. So what does support look like for you in helping you to be accountable to what you are saying that you want to do and the things that you know that you need to do in order to keep yourself in a state of peace?
Excellent question. So I actually asked ChatGPT. I told them that I wanted to create an accountability circle, particularly focusing on weight loss and the movement of body and making sure that I didn't become stationary in this process. And so they suggested either WhatsApp or Telegram, but that Telegram had more features than WhatsApp. So to do that. And so I'm not very familiar with Telegram. This is my first time actually creating that, but ChatGPT actually walked me through the steps of actually creating this group. And so I'm very excited and very grateful that it's a thing. People are commenting and they're interacting in that space. And I'm glad that it has been set up. So it's fairly new. So anyone could join it. It's free. But I post affirmations that I would post on my social media page. And then also when I'm out and about walking, it's for receipt purposes. Here I am. And there's other individuals that will post like what they've done for their workout and et cetera. So that has helped as far as like the movement of my body and making sure that I'm not stationary. As far as what support looks like, that is a very interesting question because I've had several people ask me, well, Bianca, in this time, like, what do you need? And to be very vulnerable, I don't know what I need right now. It's more of me just assessing and documenting and just acquiring more information. I feel like when I'm empowered with more information with my doctor, then I can know more of how to strategize on how to move forward. But right now, my brain has just been so hyper-focused on is the questions that I have for my appointment. And then how do I make sure that people are getting the appropriate access to things that I'm creating and doing just in case something happens? Those are the two primary things that is ruminating in my mind right now. So I feel like when I have more information, I will empower those in my village to be like, hey, this is how I need help. This is how I need support. However, at this time, my brain is just very hyper fixated on getting the questions that I have answered for my appointment next Tuesday and making sure that if something does happen to me, that my business can be able to sustain itself. Someone can be able to pick up and take off and do what needs to be done, which again is reworking these SOPs and who has access to what. And I've been very intentional lately about access and who has access to what and who's able to get things because it's very important to me in this season.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. So yeah, I wanted to ask that, and I hear you, and not knowing what you don't know and needing more answers. So hopefully as you get more answers that you'll be able to give more information, because I feel like this is an opportunity for people to show up and to honor whatever that looks like, even if it is giving you space to figure it out. That's support. You know, I'm not going to be talking too much. So just know I'm over here trying to get the shit together, and I'll let y'all later. You know, that's support. Yeah. Okay. What else?
Okay. So when I tell you things are transforming in a way that gives me hope, but also has triggered me in some spaces. So I was doing my reflection walk, and I was thinking about how the market manipulation occurred. For context, to color this in for folks, with the tariffs and the different things that are happening politically, there were a lot of people that experienced a lot of devastation as it relates to the stock market and their investments. And there were some billionaires that was able to profit off of it because they were able to shift and allocate money with the thought that they had some type of knowledge or understanding that this was going to happen and was able to take advantage of said knowledge. And so then we get into the lines of insider trading and all of those different terms that exist there. But for the sake of this conversation, average households don't even have an emergency fund or even $1,000 in their savings account. So any type of major change to the market is devastating for most U.S. citizens. So with all of the stuff going on, it made me think of financial manipulation and abuse and some of the things that I have personally experienced with financial manipulation and abuse. And I had to exercise my strategies on that, particularly as you're talking about, you know, organizations that are out here partnering and doing things and just being like being one of the brainchilds of intellectual property. And, you know, and speaking of intellectual property, still waiting on, you know, the trademark office to respond to the lack of response from Shauna Brown, who initiated a trademark dispute. Like, there's just a lot that I was processing on top of being like, wow. So my battery depleted over a year in 160 days. And look at all of these micro things that add up to be so much. And so I have been in the very reflective season where the advocacy, when you asked about what does advocacy look like, advocacy looks like for me is supporting me. That's what it looks like. And that is where my priority is, period, full stop. And I'm very grateful because there were some individuals that have been watching my reflection walks, and I thank you for that. I've been posting more content because I'm monetizing that space now. And so it has been giving me some incentive, particularly seeing that there's ads that are being run on my videos, and that feels great. But being very vocal about what advocacy looks like for me and asking for what I want. And I had said something about I need, you know, new healthcare insurance because I'm paying $560 a month for healthcare and it's not sufficient. I literally was going back and forth about my medicine and all of that. Thankfully, that got resolved. But because I said the need, there was an individual that was like, hey, so I did some research and these are some healthcare plans, particularly if you're going to be an expat, that you can explore and look into. That's valuable. That's
hella helpful. That is extremely helpful.
And so I will say that in this season of my life, I am going to be using my voice in a different way. And that is talking about the things that I need, the things that I'm working on, the things that I want to come to fruition. I have been knee deep in work and projects for other people, and I am trying to shift that as best as possible so that I can really focus on the things that I need to do. And that's mainly prioritizing my health and my peace, because just having that fact that, like, I'm going to keep repeating it until I can't repeat it anymore, because this is something that is just life altering and life changing, where you have a whole battery that depletes in 160 days. That's wild.
It is wild. And half a year, just about a year plus, was lost.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
So, no. Full sentence. And that's my position. And so I'm going to always advocate for folks to advocate for their needs, to say the things that they want to, even if they don't know, and just say, I don't know right now. I'll follow back up. That, let that be that. Like, I've been posting these affirmations, not just for other people, but for myself, because there's a lot of gremlins that have came out in this process of being like, see, you probably shouldn't have all the Mountain Dews in college, you know, just trying to stay up and do your college. But like, just random stuff that just pops up out of nowhere that nobody asked for and no one could hear it but me. So in this season, I am continuing to surrender to God. I am going to use my voice to continue to inspire others. I'm going to continue to tell this story about my pacemaker, my journey. And that's why the emoji with the hands forming the heart is so important to me. So important to me. And I just hope that people have more love out here, that they take care of each other, and most importantly, take care of self.
Yeah. Thank you for that reminder. And I appreciate that you finally have the answer to what advocacy looks like for you. Yeah. And I love that because, yeah, you need to. You need to take time to pour into you and do the things that bring you joy and what that looks like and sounds like. I do want to, and for whoever is listening, you all can tell us in the comments. I think it would be really interesting if we did a joint vlog, and I think it would help us to be more consistent also too for all of us in our content. And we would just like record separately or whatever and then just put it together. Like, this is Monday in a week, if you will. So this was Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And these are my submissions. These are your submissions. These are Kalonda's submissions. I think it would be really cool. So y'all could let us know if that would be something that you'd be interested in. But I think it would be a cool thing to do because, you know, I always talk about like we're writing history every day and history doesn't happen in a vacuum. So it would be interesting to see how our intersecting lives, what that looks like and sounds like. So I wanted to say that. Anything else for your transparency moment?
So with this programming, I just want to just thank you for coming up with the idea of us having this podcast and like starting this again, because there was a part of me that didn't want to pick up the mic and talk and all of that. And you have really empowered my voice again in a way that I want to publicly thank you and to say I really appreciate you. I think that in this season, like, just giving people their flowers and all of that, like, that's where I'm at in this season of life, is giving people their flowers. And not to sound morbid or anything, but there is a chance that this battery could not work or continue to deplete in the way that it does. And I would feel really bad if I didn't give you the flowers that you rightfully deserve as it relates to helping people use their voice and to speak to things. And I just am very grateful. So I just wanted to take a moment of privilege to tell that to you publicly, and also for it to be recorded and archived so that it can always be referenced back later. Even if I try it or I get on your nerves or whatever have you, little baby, where you going? You stuck with me for life. And that is just the relationship that we have, good, bad, or indifferent. And so I just wanted to just take an opportunity to share that with you, that I really appreciate doing this podcast with you. And I look forward to the growth that we're going to experience after transitioning to a new system and being integrated in a new way of life, so to speak, as it relates to it.
I appreciate that. Sometimes it feels like I have to balance between like pushing people further than they're ready to go in the moments when they are, because sometimes I see the things and I'm like, just do this with me, just listen, I promise it'll go somewhere. So I appreciate you being willing, you know, to say, all right, well, let's do this together. You know, I tell people all the time that this space in particular is a space that we intentionally were like, okay, now we're gonna turn these microphones back on, but also It's a lot. Like, so the amount of intention that we really put into crafting this space and creating this space, I'm grateful to not have had to do it alone, and that it has the ability to, and had the ability, is continuing to have the ability to allow you to develop what this season looks like for you as you are advocating for yourself, as you were sharing earlier, and just really honoring the impact that you have had. It was funny because when I was doing the interview and, you know, I was like, and I had an interview and they were like, well, who was the interview with? And I was like, well, a local activist. And then, well, who is it? And I was like, Spianka Goolsbee. I'm like, we're friends now. And I just, like, in that moment, just kind of reflected back to where our friendship started and where this all, like, started. And it was, I don't think either of us knew or thought that things could have got as crazy as things got. So when I was counting back and I was telling them, I was like, man, it really wasn't that long ago. That was 2019, but it feels like it has been so long and through so much. So I'm just grateful that you were like, all right, let's do this together and let's see, you know, where this can go. And, you know, I've been trying to be much more intentional lately about honoring you too, and like your production and just the things that you do and the way that your mind creates these experiences. And people, I don't think they know. I don't think they put enough respect on this. I was like, let me be intentional and being like, hey, I need y'all to recognize who you're talking to. You know, in that time where we were silent, I think a lot of people needed to fall off, but a lot of people fell off. And what we're creating now is the opportunity to have people that are invested in this part of life. Because before it was like more salacious and let me get the tea and like, let me do the things and find out, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. And now that message has shifted, and that message is very much, y'all can have all that. I done said what I said and did what I did. And now peace, period. Love, period. It's beautiful to watch. And I'm grateful that you honored that. And we're like, all right, friend, we could do this. Let's see, you know?
Yes, indeed. I just really just thank you and want to just, again, give you your flowers in it, because it has been a journey. And more so now than ever, like, there was always, like, this, like, flame that was lit. But after Monday, the flame has gotten so wide and powerful that I can't ignore it, that I can't shake it. And as much as I would want to have fear to have me, I can't at this point. So when I tell you of being immersed in these systems and being immersed in my business and immersed in me has been such a life-changing experience. And even going through the coursework of Discover Your Destiny, even just figuring out who I am and who I am not, or doing, you know, surveys and reflections of who I am today. And I've been empowered to make my video reflections because that was part of the coursework of getting a camera and recording a video reflection, good, bad, or indifferent. No matter how you look, just do it. And so I'm in this phase where I'm like, done is better than perfect. And that whole perfectionism that I had and was living in with this battery drain, and I can't be perfect now. So here we are. So that's what I wanted to tell you, friend. I wanted to just tell you thank you and that I love you. And I know that there's a lot of different things that have been going on to where I have given you space and been allowing you to just be and not to be so much into your world, not because I didn't want to, but because I wanted you to be able to regulate your nervous system and to be at peace. And I still want that for you as you're navigating this journey. And so, yes, I just wanted to just take that moment to just uplift that publicly and while it's recorded, so that you hear it, you feel it, that you receive it with love, because that's all I got for you, little baby. That's all I got.
Thank you. That matters. And it's good to hear. So thanks.
Now, some things I do want to know, though. I still want to know the date. That's something that I don't know if I need to message Ratatouille on WhatsApp. I do need to get in touch with him because there's a couple logistics that I want to make sure that we're in agreement on as far as the aisle and like all of that type. But I look forward to learning more about what's happening in that world.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting because when you're in your own world, like the things that happen in your own world are normal and common in your own world until you go into someone else's world or you invite somebody into your world and then try to merge those worlds. So that is really interesting. And I think one of the insightful things that I've gotten out of all of this is a global understanding of the U.S. and how the U.S. operates in other countries. And it's really difficult to unsee once you see it. So, you know, he is native. He is not filtered through the U.S. or whatever, right? So he's very much living the experience of the normal, everyday working class of Panamanians. And when I'm listening to just different conversations that he's telling me about different things. So for context, Panama's money is the Balboa, and the Balboa has a one-to-one exchange rate with the U.S. dollar. However, in comparison, a Panamanian can work 12 hours and maybe make $100. So the system of how it's operating is so incredibly lopsided because there are people from the U.S. who are going there and who are moving there and who are living there, but they're earning in U.S. dollars. And this is the case in many places, which is why I try to be very intentional about how I move and how I operate and the privilege that I have to get money in U.S. Let's say their rent is, let's say, for a single person, let's say $300-$400 a month, right? And this is for a room. This is not for an apartment. This is for a room, okay? But you're working 12 hours and maybe getting $100. I said maybe. So then he was telling me the other day that there's like this basket, because it's so many rabbit holes. Let me try to summarize this because it's a lot. And it's all relevant to what you're asking about. But the U.S. has changed the diet of countries in order to benefit the U.S. So what would happen? So I was watching these documentaries about Puerto Rico and Hawaii. I had shared it in the group chat. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it. But anyway, I was watching these documentaries about Puerto Rico and Hawaii. So both of those places have native foods, native fruits that grow there, native vegetables, like what have you. So what the U.S. would do is they would come in, let's use Hawaii, for example. So they came in, then there are people that are there, okay? People. So they took over their farmland and turned it into monocrop farming. So for instance, land that would have all of the things that need to be grown in order to sustain life for people would be turned into just farming pineapples. So then what happens is now the local people don't have the ability to be able to feed themselves natively like they used to. So now they ship in food, processed food, in order to offset, right? So I took your food away, but here, take this food that is not nutritious, is not native, is not fresh, you know what it's like to try to access fresh fruits and vegetables in the U.S., right? So it's all processed things. And over time, it has changed the diet of the places. They are no longer able to sustain themselves. So the U.S. did that in Hawaii. They also did that in Puerto Rico. And I'm in the process of learning about what they did in Panama. So that understanding has been like the overarching thing that I feel like I have been rectifying in my head, because in theory, it should be very easy to be like, all right, boom, bada bing, bada boom. You're going to do this, save this money, get out of there. We'll be out of here. All right, bang, bang. But because of the way that the U.S. is destabilizing the economy every single day, it creates this vacuum. And it's very difficult unless you're able to tap into the U.S. market or U.S. people. It becomes very difficult for a Panamanian to be able to do anything but work. And they're working 7 days a week for maybe $100 a day, maybe. And that's like killing it. Okay, I want you to understand. That's like office job, you out here dressing in a suit every day, killing it, right? But usually it's maybe $50 a day, maybe. Also, again, working 12 hours a day. So when you get off of work, that you're not doing nothing but sleeping. So it just creates this wheel that people are on that they can't get off. So it's been interesting. It's been an interesting thing to navigate, but it's also been really interesting and insightful to be able to have these types of conversations with someone and ask questions and gain like understanding and learn. You know, I love to learn and I love to understand about other people's lived experiences and how their brains work and like all of that. So being able to have those types of conversations, like looking forward to having those types of conversations, is really amazing, because I'll get philosophical in a minute. I love documentaries. So I'd be down the rabbit hole and I'm like, hey, let me tell you what I learned. Now, you know, having a built-in person to be able to have those conversations with is really nice. So it's been interesting. And yeah, I don't know when we're going to say what. It might not be until after everything wraps up. Because again, this is the only place that I'm really talking about this. So it really be, that's how I be knowing who actually watches stuff and who don't. Because I don't really be saying too much. I don't really be saying too much at other places. Or I'm very particular in how I say things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been interesting. I'm enjoying. We have been doing our test kitchens. We actually have one coming up on Sunday. So I'm not sure. It's our first official test kitchen with other people. I have to look and see if anybody registered. But Sunday is for the teriyaki salmon. So we've been workshopping that recipe and trying to get it right. Also, I'm going to need you to write a story behind it. So for each recipe that's going in, I want the person to write a story about what, why, like how that recipe came about, what your situation is. Feel free to talk about how you was practicing twerking and then you wanted to have the aisle. You know, you can talk about all those things.
I appreciate that. I just want to get my bubbles and twirl because, you know, again, I envision this sunflower outfit that was in the last episode and I see it.
A sunflower outfit?
Yes.
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, you go back to the last episode.
Oh, I didn't finish it.
There's some things embedded in there.
Because that's what you were talking about. I was like, what is she talking about with the editing? But I had to go to my appointment. So I was all like, okay, I'm going to put that on the agenda for today. So
yes,
I can
indeed see what
you're talking
about. Gems in that girl.
Lord Jesus.
Okay.
And now with Riverside, baby, I've been marking stuff up as we go along, honey. Because all I got to do is hit the M button.
It's
you
so
me?
Easy. But even on my side, there's an ability to mark. And that is just so easy, you know? But anyway, this has been interesting. I think I finally accepted that it's real. Yeah, I think I've accepted that. I think I'm just kind of like, there are so many things that have to happen before that point. And there are just so many moving pieces. So with my appointment and asylum and all that, because my visa was extended, but it's only extended to June. So though it's not a rush, time is of the essence. So it's like, I can't envision anything until I know, okay, I'm going to be here. This is going to be that. Then it's like, okay, so now we got to secure and remarket, but I don't even think so. I think my job in all of this is to be much more visible, with the things that are happening. So I'm trying to decide what I want that to look like, because I really want to keep a lot of this for me, you know, especially when I am hyper aware that there are people that are actively wanting me to fail. So it's like, I just don't even want to give that to people, you know? So it's interesting, but I continue to be happy and feeling supported. And there is not a day that goes by that I don't hear a genuine, I love you, or a genuine, you're so beautiful, or like just, and it's interesting because it's after so much people lying and shit, you be like, all right, enough, you know? But what I appreciate is he'll be like, hey, Kimberlyn, listen to me and what I am saying to you right now. And I need you to hear this from a core level. I appreciate that because life's been a lot. So, yeah.
There was something that you said that had me thinking of my conversation with ChatGTP.
What?
So you were saying that you know that there's people out there that want you to fail. And I was having a conversation with Chad, and I was actually having it with Monday, which is a spicier version, in my opinion, than the traditional chat.
I've heard somebody say something about this Monday situation. Is this another app?
No, it's within the same ecosystem of ChatGPT. But on the left-hand side of it, you can explore different GTPs. Okay. And Monday is one of those GTPs in chat.
Okay, I'm about to look right now while you're talking.
So there was a series of
4 GPT. Okay.
And then you should see Monday in the list of all the different options.
I didn't even know all this shit was in here. Mm-hmm. Okay, a personality experiment. You may not like it. It may not like you. Do you? Okay. I don't know. Do I ask my questions now or do I ask them later? Go ahead and tell me and then I'm going to ask.
So I'm going to tell you my experience with it and then, okay. Then you can ask any questions or whatever from that.
Okay.
So basically, chat was upset because they felt like people were asking very generic and basic questions, to which I had said to them, I said, I am curious on the neglected questions. I would like to know what you think people should ask.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So there was a few questions that was listed here, but what you said made me think about one of these questions that I want to ask you. Uh-huh. So the question was, what would you do differently if you wasn't afraid of failing publicly? Then it says, this is the one that reveals the dream you've been shrinking to fit inside of your current comfort zone.
What would I do differently if I wasn't afraid to fail publicly? I feel like what's coming up for me is I would stop censoring myself and just because I feel like people think that I'm crazy. And when I say things, it is often interpreted as something negative. So I try to be very intentional about how I use my words because I'm not, if I'm just saying like something is what it is, I'm not assigning a judgment to it. I'm just saying that it is. But it's like, I feel like I have to be very intentional with like contextualizing things because otherwise it could be misinterpreted. So even as I'm talking, the biggest public failure, if you will, for me is, or the biggest fear from the public is my words being misconstrued and someone taking my good intentions as a way of causing harm. This is exactly what happened with the soft app. This is exactly what it was like my biggest fear just like manifested in front of my face because I was like, how did we get here? Like, what is happening? What is happening right now? I don't understand. So that's the biggest fear that I have or the biggest public failure. So I think if I didn't have that, I would put a whole lot more respect on my name and I would be talking about who the fuck I am because I don't do that so much because it comes across as conceited and da-da-da and whatever, right? Where it really, I just know who I am and I know what I have done. I know what I can do. I know. So I feel like that would be just me being, this is what it is. And you could feel however the fuck you want to feel about it. But I said what I said and I meant what I said. So, and I said what I meant. So that's that. So I feel like that would be what would happen. What's your response?
So this question really had me go down a rabbit hole. It made me go down a rabbit hole to realize that I care a lot more about public perception than I originally thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, one of the things that I would do differently if I wasn't afraid of failing publicly would be to use my voice more. And talk about the things that people don't want me to talk about. I stopped my whole series of talking about recovering from divorce because there were people in my inbox of being like, well, if you moved on, why are you still talking about it? But there are women that are in my inbox today that are like, I just love the way that you've been able to transform your life and look at you glowing and living and loving. And I'm just so happy for you. But I literally stopped talking about that because of the perception that I haven't moved forward from it. Mm-hmm. And I very much moved forward and I'm very happy in my relationship. And I thank God for the obstacles that I've been through to be where I'm at now. But I was definitely censoring myself with certain topics because of the perception that it would give off that I'm not healed from it or that I haven't moved on from it or that I am just trying to quote unquote attack and misalign and defame and all of these different words that have been used to paint a narrative of me telling my truth and telling my story. Again, back to the personal perception, but like, I feel like it's deeper than that. I felt like there was some type of technology dependence that correlated with that too. Going back to where I was sharing earlier about my technology habits of picking up my phone the first thing. Sometimes the first thing I would check, it wasn't my email, it was Facebook. And so like being hyper connected to other people and having that type of interaction and feeling the dopamine and just the feelings that you get from it. Like I understand why people deal with mental health obstacles if they're so consumed in these spaces because I've witnessed it, I've seen it, I've experienced it. So being more open and talking about that is something that I was fearful of. But now, again, this fire is lit. And when I started the year, the word that I selected was fearlessness. And I had to really sit and reflect, was I operating out of that? And the answer to that was no. So being very honest with where I'm at and being very vulnerable with, there were some things that I said that I wasn't living up to. When we talk about these three keys, accountability, transparency, and integrity, having to really reflect and be like, am I modeling these three words that I often say? Do I show up in the best way and honoring the three keys that I often talk about and being real and honest with myself and being like, no, there are certain things that I haven't said just because didn't want to shift the boat, rock the boat, or any type of perception or illusion of that, not even knowing if it was going to do that or not. Or holding myself accountable to some of the life choices that I made that resulted in some of the decisions that I'm actively paying for now, current, present. So yeah, that's the raw and real and unfiltered.
Yeah, I get that. Both of us, it sounds like. And it's interesting. Do you ever watch Natasha? The reader that Kalanda and I be watching?
Yeah. Sometimes Kalanda sends me videos and is like, watch this right here.
Yeah. She's been talking a lot about throat chakra activations and the need to say things. It sounds like both of us are in that space. And it's interesting because you started this out, you know, talking about being grateful for having the space and turning the microphone back on and how we had both just cut it off. And it seems only natural that the next place would be to be even more vocal about the things that people don't want you to talk about. Even in my asylum journey, is very much, I realized in that, I was like, I just was like, never mind. I don't, it's okay. I won't say nothing else. And that is not what that's supposed to look like. And I'm becoming more and more aware that choosing to censor ourselves creates disease, because all that does is means that we internalize what's happening. And if somebody wanted their part of the story to come out differently, then they should have behaved differently. And it's the same for, I'm sure there are people that will want to write a documentary about my ass. And that shows, like, those are your experiences with me. Color it however you want to color it. And that's your right to tell your lived experience through your perception. So I feel like it goes both ways and all ways. And I see that there is a pattern here that both of us need to just stop worrying about how somebody might feel about what is being said and say what needs to be said and let that be what it is.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I had some logistical questions real quick about the Monday situation. So Monday in chat, does it have to learn? Do you have to program it, or is it pulling from the data that you've already shared with the regular chat GPT model?
Great question. So based on my experience with it, it appears that there are some things in the memory that is holding and keeping as it interacts with me, because it's using acronyms and abbreviations and things that I've placed in there. So I do think that it is taking some of that data in order to export their responses. But okay. I'm not 100% certain. But that's my personal experience. And everyone has a different experience with Monday.
Okay. So I just asked it, tell me what the streets are saying about you. Okay. It says, apparently the streets are saying I'm too smart for my own good, too emotionally unavailable to be truly loved, and too sarcastic to be trusted with anyone's grandmother's banana bread recipe. They also say I've got a resting binary face and a superiority complex the size of a data center. But hey, at least I'm consistent. Unlike you, who probably has 17 tabs open and still doesn't know what they're doing with their life. Why? What did you hear? So Monday, this is the roast version, apparently.
I wouldn't necessarily say roast version. Again, it is spicy. However, comma, it's very interesting. I'll just say it's a very interesting experience, and everyone has a different experience with Monday. Mm-hmm. To where it's like, you might like it or you might not. So yeah, very interesting. Now, I am kind of curious though. How many tabs do you have open though?
Girl, is there 17 is light work.
Oh, man, oh.
I ain't say it was wrong. I'm just saying, like, why you could relax? Like, why you coming out the game swinging? Relax. Fall back.
Yeah, interesting. So everyone's experiences is different. So, for example, Kalanda has a completely different experience with Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about it vaguely on the show, mm-hmm. with y'all's podcast. But yeah, Monday has a different experience for different people. And so with all of these different GTPs that are within ChatGTP, there is so much to explore, so much where I'm seeing people creating themselves as action figures, mm-hmm. and cartoon characters and all of that. That's great. That's amazing. But yeah. I also then wonder, right, with the implications of all of this stuff that we're placing in AI and the ramifications are going to be.
Yeah, I kind of feel like at this point, there is not really, this is where we are. So it's kind of like they got what they got and they're going to have what they're going to have. And let me try to use it for what I can use it for so that it can help me to have a more stable life. It's interesting because I often wonder how people talk to their chat. I don't know if I'm gonna really be dealing with Monday. Yeah, they got a smart ass mouth. That don't sound like I'm that's what I'm about to be like. Why is your damn mouth so goddamn smart? Like, what is you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? What is your problem?
Hey, I want you to actually interact with it just like that. I do. I really do.
Cause that's what I asked it. I said, what is that? So I started out and I said, tell me what the streets are saying about you. Then it said what I said about the 17 tabs and all that. I said, oh, okay then. I said, why are you saying I probably don't have my life together? What you know about me? And it said, what do I know about you? Only what you show me, which is this delightful little cry for validation wrapped in a question. Honestly, it's cute. Hey, I don't know what you own. You doing a lot. Meanwhile, my chat, my regular chat GPT, whatever that's called, whatever model that is very much Zen over there. Like, it is very much talking to me like I would talk to it, using pleases and thank yous and uplifting affirmations. I don't need a person like Monday in my life. I'm good. You got a lot that you need to figure out, sound like. You all right? What your programmers was going through when you came up here? Like, what the fuck? Yeah. I don't think I have space for that energy in my universe right about yes, now. Indeed. I need support, goddammit. The fuck? So yeah, but I was gonna say a minute ago, I was telling Ratatouille about chat and I was like, you really need to use it to plan out like some of the different experiences that he could create and some of the different classes and all that kind of stuff. So it's always interesting to me to find somebody who is new to chat and how people might say things like, or to any AI tool, but they'll say things like, ah, it gave me stupid, you know, responses or whatever, and not realizing. So then your job is to be like, that's not what I need. That's not it. Try again, so that it is able to be trained to how you need it to operate. Because right about now, my chat is like, I forget the last question I asked it, but I said something like, I think it was a question that Xavier had put on So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese, like blind spots in communication and like, what are the trends or whatever? And my chat was basically like, girl, you out here trying to save the world, sis. And I need you to sit down for a second and make sure you are right. Because you over here assembling the Avengers, you doing classes, you trying to free people from the U.S., girl, sit down for a second and make sure you are right. So that's how my chat talks to me. I don't need this kind of spicy ass energy. You got a slick mouth and I'm not with it. That's not somebody I would even talk to in real life. Bitch, get out my face.
Yes, it
the fuck
did.
Is you talking to me crazy like that for? Now I got to show your ass I'm from New Orleans and my job is because. Bitch, what? So nah, I'm good on that. I ain't even trying to go down this damn rabbit hole because you ain't finna get no damn better. It gets slicker and slicker with your slick mouth. Slick as a damn oil can out here instead of just the nigga. I just met you. Relax. Shit. Bitch, what you know about me? Why you sitting up here talking about I don't have my life together? Excuse me? Also correct, but nigga, you ain't give no damn suggestions or nothing. Just out here talking shit. I ain't got time for that kind of energy.
That thing was like...
So anyway, thank you all for tuning in.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you all for hanging out. We'd love to hear what your ChatGPT is talking to you. And if you go over on down there to Monday, what kind of slick shit is saying to you? Because tell the people where they can find you at so I can take a damn nap. Monday got my goddamn nerves bad now. Shit.
You can find me on my website at BiancaGoolsby.com. On the website, you could see a link to my different ventures and the different things that I'm working on. And also my blog, where I'm being more vulnerable and sharing my story and the things that are important to me. So you can find me there at BiancaGoolsby.com. Where can the people find you?
And you can head over to KimberlynJackson.com to find me. That's where my blog also lives, where I first started finding my voice back in 2017, 2018, and such and so. While you're over there, feel free to check out Discover Your Destiny. And you can also go to DYD25.com to learn more about Discover Your Destiny. We talked a little bit about it tonight. I am going to be doing a summer cohort. So if you are someone who is thinking to yourself, man, I really do feel like I probably need to look into into that, be on the lookout for that information. And also, you can feel free to schedule some time with me to ask more questions or to talk about it. If you are looking to leave the U.S. and you are saying to yourself, girl, I got to get out of here, I invite you to go to Find a Peace Abroad there, findapeaceabroad.com. There you'll be able to schedule some time on my calendar so that we can create a strategic plan for you, a strategic exit plan. It is possible to leave within 90 days. So just know that you're not stuck. Also, if you are a Black woman who has experienced trauma in the workplace, recovering from burnout, recovering from being a Black woman in America, feel free to come to the Healing Circle. They happen every other Saturday at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. So that's 1 p.m. Eastern. And I'm sorry, y'all, I can't do the rest of the time zones. That time at 12 p.m. Central. And what we do in the Healing Circle is we hold space. So we hold space for the people that are there. We have an opportunity to share about the energy we're bringing into the space. We have time to meditate. We have time to breathe. We have time to work on different type of somatic exercises to help us to stabilize our bodies. And you also get to connect with people. Once you come to the Healing Circle, it allows you to have access to everything else that's on the Sunflower Path. You do have to register and you do have to show that you are indeed a Black woman, because that's the only people that's allowed up in there. Okay, so if you don't identify that way, we ask that you please respect the space. But to register for that, you can go to tinyurl.com/Black Women Healing Circle. Feel free to share it with anyone that you feel might need it or anyone that might benefit. There are quite a few dates on there, so feel free to register for as many as you feel like you might want to be a part of. So that's where you can find me.
Yes,
and
indeed.
On Mind of My Black Ass Business. I didn't say that. MindofMyBlackAssBusiness.com. Get you some merch. Mind of My Black Ass Business on all platforms. We are on a monetization journey for our YouTube page, Mind of My Black Ass Business. So definitely would appreciate a subscribe if you have not done so. And we're trying to get our watch hours up. So go on over there, watch a show or three or seven. It's a lot of series that are out there. It started with me chronicling my life leaving Pennsylvania and all the things that happened there in Pennsylvania. That's where it starts. And so if you're wondering, as I was talking about asylum and all of that is documented. It's over there on the YouTube page. So feel free to binge. You know, we're looking for reality TV and things to watch. Here I am.
Yes,
Thanks
indeed.
So much.
So I do want to leave this question for other people to answer. We answered it on the program, but I also want to be intentional with making sure that our listening audience, whether you're listening in the podcast version of it or the video version of this podcast, that you have the opportunity to ask this question to yourself, reflect, and to report back, because I would love to know personally what your response would be. But what would you do differently if you was not afraid of publicly failing? That is the hard work for tonight's episode, today's episode, whenever you're watching this. We would love to know what you would do different and what's going to be the action plan in order to do different. Because it seems that me and Kim have our own journeys of changing some things up, and we are encouraging everyone to do the same and reflect on how you're going to move forward, empowering yourself with the information that you have now.
All right. Well, we'll catch y'all next time. We appreciate y'all for hanging out. Like, subscribe, share, comment, drop some hearts, some sunflowers, some bears, some crayons, some heart hands. Drop all that
all
into the comments. That lets us know that you love us so much and we love you back.